And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Everyone's hurt. That's the story as we enter week 7 of the fantasy hockey season. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice. Week 7, waiver wire edition. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meaney. What's going on, Jake? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, Nick. I'm not hurt. I'm 100% healthy, 100% ready for the show today. And I think I could say the same thing about Pete Jensen, Chris Meaney, and yourself as well. I hope everybody was safe at their dinners over the weekend. Nothing crazy. So we're all healthy to report, at least on the podcast today.
Yeah, that's the fortunate news. I think we got to hire an investigative reporter to find out what happened in Jersey. But Jake, it's the same old story. I'm really disappointed on many fronts. I draft Jack Hughes every season. I had him in the NHL Fantasy on Ice draft in New York. Yeah. So that really hurts my chances of repeating as champion, but that's a really tough loss for Jersey, and it's been the story of this guy's career. But I think internally, Dawson Mercer is a guy I'm looking at. He's had a great start this season, maybe elevates a bit more with Jack Hughes down and out.
Good call on Mercer. Obviously, you're just not going to replace a guy like Jack Hughes, right? You can look for players like a Mercer that are maybe going to get some more opportunities, some more top 6 minutes. But if you have Jack Hughes, it's just a bad break. It really is. You're not going to go onto your wire. Maybe, Meaney, you can make a trade to try to supplant a Jack Hughes, but that's a very difficult thing to do, getting a guy with first-round value. It really is just unfortunate because we talk about the injury history with Hughes all the time. And then, Meaney, something like this happens where it's not even on the ice. It's something totally unrelated to hockey. And he ends up out for what looks like 2 months. It's a significant injury for Jack Hughes and the New Jersey Devils.
Extremely unlucky. And for all the people that slid into the DMs, why isn't Jack Hughes higher in the ranks? Let's be honest. This is an unfortunate injury, but this guy has not been able to stay healthy. So, yeah, this is a tough blow for the Devils. I saw Nico Hischier dropped in one of my 10-team leagues. You know, I'd be patient with him. He takes on a defensive role, but he's going to be asked to do a little bit more offensively. And how about Arsenij Gritsik, a rookie who is going to get a real opportunity here over the next couple of months, and he played on the top line with Timo Meier and Hischier in his last game. He has 9 points on the season, Nick, 3 of them in the last 4 games. He has 2 goals, a power play point. He's played 18 and 20 minutes over his last 2, and he can really rip the puck, so consider him.
Pete Aroldis Chapman Jensen's warming up in the bullpen right now, getting set for the Week 7 waiver wire list, so nice little tease right there. And speaking of Boston, Charlie McAvoy, we send our best to him. Imagine taking a puck in the face. The slow-mo that, Jake, was insane. But got another guy coming up on this week's list. Mason Lowry has been really good since being a health bomb. But Charlie McAvoy is a guy who plays so strong and so hard, and I think you have to deal with stuff like this as a fantasy owner. He's going to get banged up. And again, another unfortunate injury, right?
Unfortunately, you play pro hockey long enough, especially on defense, the way that Charlie McAvoy does, at some point you're going to catch one. You just are. You hope you get lucky and it doesn't damage anything too badly, but it's just, that's kind of what happens. This is why these guys make a lot of money and do what they do, and that's a tough break. And Meaney, we were talking before we hit record as well on the Boston Bruins in general. Does this affect them moving forward a little bit? I know Nick mentions Lowry. Maybe there's some other guys that could step up in the lineup. I'm starting to get kind of impressed by this Bruins team. I did think they were going to be a little bit better than people thought they were going into this season, but I wasn't expecting this good. Can they keep it up and actually stay in the playoff conversation? I think if you asked me a week or two ago, I would have said no, but I'm starting to get sold on what this Bruins team is doing.
They play extremely physical. They went into Montreal and bullied them, pushed them around a couple fights in the first few minutes of that game. They won both of those fights. They won the hockey game. Victor Arvidsson suffered an injury. We talked about him in the last episode. He's been playing great. I like the Mason Lowry call there too, Nick. You know, he scored a goal against the Canadiens. And if McAvoy does miss a little bit of time here, and I expect him to, I know he's a warrior. He's probably going to put the cage on and get back out there. But Lowry should get up on that top power play. When I watch the Bruins, like, everything runs through David Pastrnak. I think we give this guy enough credit. Doesn't matter who is on his line, when he touches the puck, he makes things happen. And the Atlantic Division is still a mess, Nick. So right now, yeah, the Bruins are hanging around. They may actually be a wildcard team, and that would be one of the biggest surprises for me anyways in this NHL season.
Oh, for sure. And again, we've talked about this a lot the last couple of weeks, but Jeremy Swayman's back, which is massive news, and back in the fact that he's actually Jeremy Swayman again and making saves. And that's just so monumental for that team. And on top of that, they got an unreal 1-2 combo. We all know about Pastrnak, but Geeky, I mean, he's been such a good story for that team, especially in a time of need when, you know, Krejci's gone, Bergeron's gone, like, it's the next wave. Even, you know, Matt Patra is a guy we haven't heard about in 2 years, right? They've been dying for centers up the middle there, and I think it's been a great story. But again, You know, in general, in fantasy hockey the last week, just ravaged by injury. I'll list off some names here, Jake. Drew Doughty banged up, going to miss a couple weeks. John Carlson hurt right now with Washington. Marco Rossi with Minnesota. They're already slim when it comes to depth up the middle. Kako's down again. Cody Glass, another injury here with the Devils. Jeff Skinner, Tyler Bertuzzi, Michael Granlund, Arvidsson, as we talked about, Matt Murray. It really is slim pickings on the waiver wire right now. This makes it really, really difficult, doesn't it?
I was going to say, speaking of guys that always tend to get hurt, unfortunately, Victor Arvidsson, who had actually carved out a nice spot for himself in that Bruins lineup, was on the first power play, getting for top 6 minutes, and a guy that's never been afraid to shoot the puck. So I felt like Arvidsson was becoming a bit of a fantasy asset, at least in deep leagues. And I watched the injury. He's just kind of skating into the ozone and then pulls up. And you know, sometimes those non-contact injuries mean he could be a little bit strange. There is a couple guys in that Bruins lineup. I know Nick mentioned Geeky. Obviously, he's gone to another level, but Kuznetsov centering that top line right now. Asimont gets moved up to the second line. Alex Steeves. A lot of names probably not many people have heard of, Meany, but I think probably more deep league plays. But so, I mean, somebody's got to get the top 6 minutes in Boston right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And with Elias Lindholm, you know, still out, and I don't believe there's a timetable for him. There's an opportunity for some of these kids. And, you know, scanning the waiver wire for some defenseman ads, because, Nick, you just, you know, mentioned a bunch of them. Lefshinov is still, you know, sub 20% ownership. He picked up an apple against the Maple Leafs. OEL is doing things for the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. Radko Gudas is probably going to play in the Ducks next game if you need a little bit of grit. And I see Rasmus Anderson on my waiver wire in a lot of spots, and he's getting a lot of ice time. He's shooting the puck. He's blocking shots. And Nick, I just wonder if this is a good stash. Like, at some point, I feel like the Flames are going to move on from him. And if he goes to a better scenario, you could have yourself a top 15, a top 20 defenseman on your hands.
Yeah, I've been contemplating that. It just doesn't seem like they're going to make a move anytime soon. And I'm reading reports like on a daily basis, his mind changes. Some days he's like, I want to stay in Calgary. Some he's like, I want to get traded. So until there's a resolution, I'm probably steering clear. But I understand what you're saying, because there's not much depth on the blue line, but that's probably the way I would handle a guy like Anderson. I like the Lefshinov shout as well. Do you guys know in the last 10 games he has as many points as Matthew Schaefer? That's 8. That's been a great story. Leading power play 1. Sam Renzel was a health bomb over the weekend, so maybe he elevates after that. I mean, sometimes there's a response that you're looking for from young players, so I like that look as well. And Jake, out in Los Angeles, Adrian Kempe resigns. I think I'm going to take July 1 off. Like, I can only wonder what our podcast is going to look like next summer when we react to July 1 and find out where Jacob Trouba goes, right?
Just cricket noises. It will be 35 minutes of cricket noises.
The Bob Bender sound effects.
That's exactly. I would listen. I would tune into that. That sound, the crickets could go back and forth and figure out what's going on. It was supposed to be this great July 1st, right? All these names, but every week we just check off another box. Someone signs, re-signs, extends with their team. So, I don't know. It's looking less and less exciting at the moment, but Kempe, I've always been a Kempe fan, Meany, and I also like what I'm seeing from the LA Kings right now as well. They were a team that was just kind of stuck in the mud, not playing their best hockey, couldn't even win a game in regulation, and they go out on the road, they go through that Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa stretch, and they start to look like the LA Kings again. Lock it down defense, you know, great puck possession, generating chances, and Kempe's been at the forefront of that, so it does feel like the Kings have found their game, and there's an opportunity there in the Pacific Division for them to kind of step up and take it, right?
Love Kempe. I love this guy, man. He rips the puck, and that's a great deal for the Kings. Are you kidding me? Like, this is somebody who could have got 12-plus in the open market. There's no question about it. And yeah, LA is playing great. I still have some questions about their blue line, but Kemper's been solid. Anton Forsberg has been solid, filling in as a backup. I think the Kings have a couple, at least have one back-to-back this week. We have the cheat sheet over at NHL.com/fantasy highlighting the week, and, you know, he's maybe a goalie stream that you can consider. And Nick, when I look at their lineup, Joel Armia up on the top line, Corey Perry's playing a role, so they have this mix of some youth, some veteran players in there, and of course we know it's Kopitar's final season, so he's playing with an edge.
Look, you don't have to be the first to tell me about Joel Armia. I played the anytime goal on the road in Montreal Thursday. It hit. Obviously, wow. It hit. I think plus 650 because I love revenge. We all know that.
Love that.
Some returns. Zach Hyman hit everybody but the usher in section 320 in his return. He had 11 hits in that return. You think he was fired up to play hockey again? Big win. For Edmonton, starting to cook a bit, play 23-10. Again, 11 hits, 1 assist, 2 shots on goal. We love that attachment as well to Connor McDavid. I thought Joseph Waljake was really, really good in that loss to Chicago. I think he has a chance to grab this Maple Leafs net, especially with Anthony Stolarz on injured reserve right now, and we expect a tandem moving forward. But I like the Wall look. We're going to talk about it in a few moments here with Pete Jensen. But I like the way Wall started his season Saturday night, Jake.
I love that Hyman stat that you just dropped, 11 hits. That's a guy that's been caged up. He's been locked up, and he's like, okay, let me at him. So you like to see that, and the Oilers need a little energy in that lineup, and they did get a nice win on the road over the weekend as well. I watched that entire Maple Leafs game, Meany. Still a lot of the same concerns. I was in the building on Thursday as well. A lot of concerns with this team throughout the lineup. But Nick's right. Joe Wall coming back. I wouldn't call him as any sort of savior, but I think he stabilizes the goaltending, just gives them another option. I stashed Wall in a couple of leagues, and I was glad with what I saw. The game-winning goal ends up being a deflection. There's really nothing he can do there. So nice to see Wall back in the lineup, Meany, but a lot of concerns with what's going on in that Leafs lineup outside of goaltending.
Yeah, I don't know. When I look at the team, I feel like they need a puck-moving defenseman. I think that would help them. I think a lot of the elite teams across the league have one of those guys who can skate, but I'm not seeing it right now on the blue line. But I completely agree with you guys with Wall. We immediately put him inside the top 20, I believe, in terms of our goalie rankings, and you know he has a much higher ceiling than that. Let's not forget, Stolarz was great last year, but Wall was the guy who led the team in wins. Didn't he have like 27 or something? He was really, really good. And you guys mentioned the Oilers. It was really fun to see Hyman out there throwing his body around, but again, Jack Roslovic, I don't know. People are 41% owned. He's the most picked up guy here today. He's got points in four straight, 8 of 10, 9 of 12, 6 goals over that span. We talked about him. We had a lot of questions, right, Nick, about Roslovic. What would his role be? With Ryan Nugent-Hopkins still sidelined, he still played up on that top power play. He'll probably lose that spot when the Oilers are at full health, but the chemistry he has right now in that second line with Leon Draisaitl, you can't ignore it.
Yeah, who needs Mitch Marner when you have Jack Roslovic? I think the best offseason signing happened as the season got underway. That's just a massive, massive fit. And we'll see where Roslovic fits in that top six now with Zach Hyman back in the mix, but he's been outstanding. Meantime, Rasmus Dahlin back in the mix. Two apples over the weekend. A crazy come-from-behind victory because that's Buffalo. That's what they do. They were dead to rights last week. Pete Jensen was talking about a bunch of different changes with that team, but they're back on track. It's the same old story with Detroit, Buffalo. Like every year we have these conversations. Elsewhere in Chicago, Jake, I've been really, really impressed with that team. I think Spencer Knight has obviously taken that next step where he's ascending. Like, I don't want to say it too early, but he's ascending into stardom and being a top up echelon netminder in this league. But Frank Nazar comes back, gets an apple. He had been pointless in five straight games. And Andrei Burakovsky back in the mix. I know Bertuzzi went down. But the Hawks are going to give you an honest effort. They don't have the most talent in the league. But from a fantasy standpoint, I love them right now, Jake.
I'm starting to get sold on this team just watching them. It's strictly just the eye test. When I look at them on paper, I go, oh, this team leaves a lot to be desired, right? But with Bedard and now Nazar back in the lineup, and I watched a lot of that game, and Nazar was making some great plays. He looked fully healthy to me. It just gives them at least two lines, and they're actually getting some depth scoring. We mentioned Levshinov off the top as well and what he's doing on the back end. And Meany, Spencer Knight has become one of the better fantasy goaltenders out there, right? And a guy I still like to look to in the prop market for the save prop, because as much as we're praising Chicago, they're still going to give up their fair share of chances. And Knight seems perfectly comfortable making 30 plus saves a night if they want him to. And it's working out great. So if you spent a pick on him, I know it probably felt risky to draft a Blackhawks goaltender. You're laughing right now because this guy looks like a complete stud.
He's the number one goalie in fantasy hockey in leagues with saves. He's second in the NHL in saves. He's got a 9.24 save percentage, so it's not like he's killing your ratios. And this was a top prospect at some point, right? We talked about it. I know you guys had these conversations I did before in the past. Like, is he the next goalie to fill in for Bobrovsky? And Bobrovsky kind of just flipped the switch and was awesome over the past couple of years. So Spencer Knight is great. I completely buy into what the Blackhawks are selling us. And, you know, as for the Montreal Canadiens, I know you guys glossed over some of the injuries, but the same usual suspects for them as well. Like a great start to the season. All of a sudden, Newhook, you know, breaks his ankle. He's out 4 months. Fractured ankle for Doc. He's out for probably 2 months. And then Gouley has a bit of a setback. So the Canadiens had a very bad week. How quickly things can change. Outscored 15-3 on home ice, including a beatdown from the Dallas Stars 7-0. So maybe take a look at some guys like Bolduc and Demidov and Kapanen. These guys are just going to be forced into more minutes.
It really puts the season into perspective where it's an 82-game slate. Again, we talked about Montreal a lot. Like, I thought they won the Stanley Cup in the month of October, and here we are in November and the sky is falling. I mean, it just shows you 82-game slate. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. November 17th to 23rd, a total of 54 games here, Jake. 6 Monday, 8 Tuesday, 4 Wednesday, 12 on Thursday, 4 Friday, 12 on Saturday, 6 on Sunday. The four-game teams, Anaheim, Boston, Buffalo, Calgary, Carolina, Chicago, Columbus, Edmonton, Islanders, San Jose, Seattle, Utah, Washington. The two-game teams, Ottawa, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, that's three in total. Then the one-game teams. Nobody wants any Nashville Predators anyways, but they got a one-game slate this week here, Jake.
I think that's what you're looking at this week, is just ditch basically every player on that roster except for Philip Forsberg. I think you want to keep Forsberg. And it's actually an interesting conversation, probably not for this week, but maybe after. If people do ditch all their Preds like we're telling you to do, maybe a little sneaky stash. I know we talked about Rasmus Anderson, but Barry Trotz has got to go scorched earth on this thing. I don't know if he will. I'm not talking to the guy, but I think he has to. I just don't know if he's going to do it closer to the deadline or if he just gets this done, you know, at the early point of the season. But there's no, this team is just cooked. So maybe a sneaky stash on some of those Preds players after this week, but you're certainly sending to the wire with a one-game week after the trip to Sweden.
I'm stunned that a league that there's so much turnover behind the bench, there hasn't been one single coaching change, and we're sitting here on Monday, November 17th. Now, naturally, I say that, somebody who got canned as we record this podcast, but such is life. As you get the Pete Jensen, NHL.com/fantasy, week 7 waiver wire edition. Now, Pete, I don't expect to have the answers to what happened to Jack Hughes, but I do expect to have some answers who to pick up in lieu of losing Jack Hughes.
Yeah, for sure. Gritschuk, who we talked about earlier, very quietly second among all rookies in shots on goal behind Matthew Schaefer, and he has not had a pronounced role up until a couple of games ago. Of course, with Jack Hughes, the Devils proved last year that they could still move forward with themselves. They were missing Jack Hughes. They were missing Dougie Hamilton. They're missing Dougie Hamilton again. But they were able to go, whatever it was, the final month or two of the season and still make the playoffs and still put up a decent fight. So you just hope that when push comes to shove, they can get these guys back for the most important time of year. But for now, they rely on some of their depth, and Gritschuk is at the top of that list.
You've got a relatively low-owned Vancouver Canuck on your list this week, Pete, who has sneaky been picking up some points. They did get Quinn Hughes back on Sunday as well. Obviously, we know how much that helps. I believe Hughes had 4 assists in that game, so he came back, injected a lot of offense. But you got a Canucks forward on the list this week, Petey.
Yeah, Hughes is amazing. I mean, we're in some kind of golden age with defensemen right now, right? With Cale Makar, Matthew Schaefer, Quinn Hughes. It's been pretty fun to watch. But Jake DeBrusk has had a nice, you know, expanded production since joining the Vancouver Canucks. He had 20 goals last year, had his best numbers of his career on the power play, and he's kept it going here with 7 goals in 20 games and 6 power play goals this season for Jake DeBrusk, is tied for 3rd in the entire NHL. I don't think many people realize how good he's been since going to Vancouver, and he's in that mix on power play 1 with Quinn Hughes, with Pettersson and Besser, and they have some explosiveness to that unit.
Pete, you mentioned Schaefer. I mean, what can you say about Schaefer? He's been absolutely amazing, and just to think he's just a child, can't even buy a drink at Applebee's, what he's doing is spectacular. But it seems like we're talking about the Islanders almost every single week. Bo Horvat's been great. Barzell's hitting the score sheet lately. I know we talked about Heinemann. There seems to be a lot of players inside their top 6, even in their top 9, that have been impressive. Who do you like this week?
They got 8 players with at least 10 points this season. Last we checked, that was tops in the entire NHL. Not a team that we came into the season thinking they'd have some of the best scoring depth in the entire NHL, but that's where we stand. They have a nice combination, the Islanders, of win-now players like Jonathan Drouin, right? He came from Colorado, coming off a career year in points per game. So he's on power play one with Barzell, and second line with Barzell. So a lot of firepower for the New York Islanders. They hung tough with the Avalanche. That was his former team. It was Nelson's former team. There was a lot of stuff going on in that game, and it was a really nice performance up until the past, you know, the final couple minutes of the game. But yeah, I like Jonathan Drouin with some resurrected fantasy value the past couple of years.
It just doesn't seem like Colorado loses, and the Central Division, the more and more I watch, I'm like, is Dallas or Colorado one of those teams just going to go all the way this year? But Colorado's been an epic story. I like Dallas too. As you guys know, they were my Stanley Cup pick this year. Tyler Seguin, an old dog here, Pete, on your list this week.
Right, and keep an eye on what's happening here, because Matt Duchene and Jamie Benn are practicing. Benn hasn't really played at all this year. Duchene has only played 4 games. So, yeah, Tyler Seguin, curious to see where he's going to be in the pecking order when that's all said and done. But based on recent production, he's got 7 goals on the season, goals in 4 of his past 6 games. And he's playing on that line with Jason Robertson, who is super hot right now, and Roope Hintz. And then the other line has Wyatt Johnston, who actually leads the NHL in power play goals, and he's playing with Rantanen. So even with those injuries, Dallas is hanging tough, and they still have probably one of the deepest forward groups in the entire league when they get healthy.
Pete, speaking of guys with a garden seat assignment, how about Braden Bowman out in Vegas? Can you explain to people who this guy is, where he came from, and that line assignment he's getting? That's a great opportunity right out of the gate.
Yeah, I'll be honest. A couple days ago, I didn't know too much about this kid. He was undrafted. Meany brought him up. I'll give him credit there. He scored a game-winning goal the other day. He's got 8 shots in his first 3 games, and he's playing not only up top with Jack Eichel on the first line, but he's playing on the first power play unit. They're still rolling 5 forwards. They got Eichel, Marner, Dorofeev, Hertl, and this kid Bowman. So he's only 4% rostered. He's had a lot of high danger shots so far. 7 of his 8 have come from that range. And his underlying metrics suggest that he could give himself a chance to stick in the top 6 for the rest of the year. Relatively unproven, I will say that. But if you're in a deep league, you want to tap into Vegas and get some exposure to the top 6.
Pretty interesting for Bruce Cassidy to give him that kind of opportunity right away. Like, here you go. Yeah. Here, play with Jack Eichel. I guess they want to keep that second line together with Hertl and Dorofeev and Marner. But, you know, it's pretty interesting to see Bowman lead all Vegas forwards in 5-on-5 ice time in their most recent game. Absolutely bizarre. But a good opportunity for the kid. What are we doing at the blue line, Pete? Well, got any defensemen for us?
It's funny, in the offseason, Chris, I think we bumped out Simone Nemec from our top 100 keeper rankings, which seems, I guess, in hindsight, a little crazy because he was the number 2 pick in just the 2022 NHL draft. Sometimes we lose our patience with these guys, but he is stepping up and delivering in the absence of Dougie Hamilton, at least 26 minutes in 3 of his past 4 games. He's got that pedigree, showing signs of an offensive breakout with 12 points in his first 18 games this year, including a hat trick against the Chicago Blackhawks, who have been a really tough team to play against. So I like what I'm seeing from him. He's got a little range in his goals so far this year, and I think that he has a chance to remain fantasy relevant even when Hamilton eventually comes back. Devils, quietly one of the best young blue lines in the league with Luke Hughes and Simone Nemec.
Yeah, they're very impressive. And lastly, Pete, in between the pipes, we talked a bit about Joseph Woll earlier on, but I like the Sergei Mirishov shout. Goes over to Europe, of course, gets the shutty. Big win for Pittsburgh over Nashville, but obviously there's opportunity in that Pittsburgh crease right now.
Yes, opportunity with Tristan Jarry injured. I know that Arthur Seelovs has been a nice little story, but who knows what kind of staying power he could have. It is a pretty young goalie tandem in the short term with those two guys, Mirishov and Seelovs. Do I trust either of them immensely? Definitely not. But with the Penguins having the best power play in the NHL at 34.1%, and then also being in the top 10 in goals per game, like, he's going to get 3 or 4 goals of support almost every night, every other night. So, you know, you expect him to hang around and at least get you some quality starts. And to do what he did on the big stage in Sweden, like, that was pretty cool. It gave me a little bit more confidence in this guy moving forward.
I always have confidence in you, Pete Jensen. NHL.com/fantasy week 7 waiver wire edition. We're going to hit the break. On the other side, it's Odd the Money, brought to you by Bet365. Don't go anywhere.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen.
And he scores!
Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to 4 games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting With Bet365, an official league partner, with Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. But in every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves, bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. An official betting partner of the NHL, must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. To pick from and choose from this week, including the first couple days here of the week. You're here, Jake. Monday, Edmonton-Buffalo. I'm going to start with the over. I like the over in that game. Maybe you look at Ryan McLeod as well.
I feel like Edmonton's got a role in this game, but the Oilers do some weird stuff. And so does Buffalo, really, right? Like, we saw that crazy comeback over the weekend. So maybe it's a game you want to avoid, but I think Edmonton should take care of business there. I would lean towards them in regulation. I like the Washington Capitals tonight at home against the Kings. I know I praised the Kings earlier, but still, it's a tough road trip. They've played a lot of hockey here. I think at some point it's going to catch up to them. And I feel like this is a pretty good spot for Washington, assuming that Logan Thompson is going to start this game. And I don't have a play on this one, Meany, but the Mammoth and the Ducks, I don't know if you have anything here, probably something in the prop market. This is just going to be an exciting hockey game. It is the first game back after a long trip for Anaheim, which could be kind of a tough spot. I think that's why we see Utah as actually a favorite on the road in this hockey game. But from an excitement level standpoint, I'm fired up for that one on Monday night.
Yeah, this one should be a lot of fun. I think we could see some offense in it. You mentioned the long road trip, and they have lost 3 games in a row now, 12 goals allowed over that span. But there's some really good value with a lot of those players. I mean, we've been talking about Cutter Gauthier for a long time, but if you want to do a Carlson and Terry point prop, or if you want to get involved with Dylan Gunther, he's starting to, you know, he's always shooting, right? The goals dried up, but he did score, I think, in his most recent game. I see a -140 for a point. Maybe you put him in with JJ Paterka, who's kind of hit the score sheet lately. Like, Nick, that's a game where I think we could see a lot of offense. And I like Roslovic again. You mentioned goals in Edmonton. -135 for a point. It's still pretty good value for him.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Anaheim-Utah front. I probably like the over in that game. And I think the Ducks, it could be like a get-right game. They're back on home ice. So it was a pretty long and grueling road trip. So I think I'm siding with Anaheim in that game. Carolina-Boston intrigues me as well here, Jake. I'll probably play the under. Like, the Bruins have been a great story. Carolina's an excellent team. And I think we're just going to see two really good teams go toe-to-toe, and when that happens, it's going to be a strong defensive night. So famous last words, but I like the under in that one.
Kind of ties into your under, and as we record, I haven't got confirmation on starting goaltender for Boston, but if it is Jeremy Swayman, heck, even if they do go to the Corpusalo, I like the over on saves for whatever Bruins goalie starts. This is an angle I've been playing against the Hurricanes. The Canes, as we know, Meany, this goes back a long time. They just love to fire. They'll fire from everywhere. Very often, you'll see them over 30 shots, heck, 35, 40 shots if they end up trailing in a hockey game, and I could see this being a game where maybe Boston does get out to a lead. Carolina's got a fire, so I like the over on saves, and I am going to continue to ride the opposing team against the Montreal Canadiens right now. Just not playing their best hockey. I think they're going through one of those lulls. Still a good story. I just don't think a top team in the league like they were playing in October. Columbus is a short favorite on home ice. Maybe some Fantilli props as well, as he's kind of found his game. I'll be looking there on Monday night.
Yeah, I like the Blue Jackets, -125 on the money line. Dobish going to get the start. He hasn't looked good over the past couple. I mentioned the injuries, and the Canadians can't generate anything. I mean, a team that's in the bottom five in shots, but in the top five in goals, it's going to regress, right? You're not going to have a high shooting percentage all year long. Fantilli, -130 for a point, really good value for him. And you mentioned the Hurricanes. Svechnikov has been pretty hot of recent. I know, Nick, you talked about it, the slow start before on this show for him, but 7 points in his past six. All 10 of his points have come over his final 10 games, and he has a promotion to, you know, top line. Aho leads the team in points, and Jarvis leads the team in goals, and played a season high 20 minutes in his last game. And how about Brad Marchand? Have to give him some love.
So,
you know, I was looking at the back of the hockey card. I'm like, my goodness, he's got 15 points over a current 10 game point streak. He's got 5 multi-point games over that span, at least 1 goal in 7 of them. 37 years old, he's got at least 1 point in 15 of 17 games this season. He's having a heck of a year. I'd take a look at him for an anytime goal or at least an assist.
He is a lot more realistic because he signed a 6-year contract. Don't forget that. So he plans to play until he's 43. Do not forget that. Pete Jensen, Petey Props, what do you got for us, buddy?
So I'll go back to Hyman. This guy has scored 27-plus goals each of the past 4 seasons, and you can get him at +145 in his second game of the year to score a goal, anytime goal. So I like that play a lot. Also, when you're looking at the Amazon Prime game tonight, Canadians, Blue Jackets, you're looking at a lot of speed. These two teams are both in the top six of the entire NHL in the 20-plus mile-per-hour speed burst. So maybe look to the over. The goaltending in that game is pretty ugly, to say the least. And the honeymoon phase looks like it's over with Dobesh.
Yeah, there's a bit of crying happening there, too. It's been that type of start. I mean, you win seven in a row, then you lose one, and you get a bit emotional. I get it. Yeah, the last thing I'd bring up, St. Louis-Toronto under, I would look at that. I think both teams dying for a victory in that one. But, Jake, we look forward to a Thursday. And, again, just stop with the rash of injuries. I know this happens every year, but that's a massive story for me right now.
It just feels like we get a fresh slate of injuries. So making fantasy managers very active this year, you know, on that waiver wire, maybe via trade. I like your St. Louis-Toronto under. I think two teams struggling. You kind of look towards defense and trying to lock it down. So I like that shout. And I'm going to continue to back Chicago and San Jose going into Tuesday. Just these two teams, I still think the markets are kind of slow to catch up on them. Now, Sharks have lost a couple in a row. They're going to catch Utah in the second half of a back-to-back. I think we might get a pretty decent price on the Sharkies on Tuesday night.
Okay, boys, great job coming up on Thursday, Week 7 Mailbag Edition. So looking forward to that. Thanks to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Cotton, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meaney, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Talk later this week.